We've got another show packed with political drama and debate, especially when it comes to health care. We'll look at whether the Obamacare replacement plan is collapsing. I'll be talking to Craig Gilbert in Washington, D.C. about the opposition facing the American Health Care Act. When it comes to the plan, Speaker Paul Ryan is all in, but what does Governor Scott Walker think? We'll also fact-check healthcare claims with Tom Kircher of PolitiFact Wisconsin. And, as always, we'll have winners and losers and your questions all this week on JS on Politics. Welcome to JS on Politics. I'm your host, Mary Spacuzza. We're starting out in Washington, D.C. with Craig Gilbert. I'm here with Craig Gilbert, our Washington, D.C. bureau chief, and he's going to give us the latest on what's happening with the Obamacare replacement plan. How is that going?
It's a pretty big lift at this point. I mean, Paul Ryan is trying to get this thing through his own party, which controls both the House and the Senate. It's tough for different reasons in the Senate and for different reasons in the House. There's no consensus right now among Republicans over which way to go with this bill, over whether it's too generous or not generous enough, over who the winners and losers are. And the challenge for Paul Ryan is if he moves one way, if he moves the bill toward the center, he runs the risk of more defections from the right and vice versa. So there's a huge amount at stake politically for both him and President Trump. I mean, a lot of aspects of the Republican agenda depend on getting a health care bill passed quickly.
What does this mean for his political future? Obviously, speakers have had a rough road in recent years.
Well, he is, you know, his personal stamp is on this bill. It's really more of a Ryan bill than a Trump bill when you look at the philosophy behind it, even though Paul Ryan has said over and over again this bill was written in conjunction and cooperation with the White House. It's a bill that's more in keeping with the sort of traditional conservative ideology of House Republicans than it is with President Trump's rhetoric on the campaign trail, where he talked about, you know, protecting entitlements and protecting the insured. There are clearly some losers in the Republican health care bill on that front.
What are you seeing in terms of winners and losers under this plan?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, what we see a pattern nationally and in Wisconsin where demographically the people on Obamacare who lose the most are people that you sort of associate with the sort of Trump vote, which are older Americans, rural Americans, you know, middle to lower income Americans. And geographically, something similar is going on. When you look at Wisconsin, I'm doing a piece for the weekend where I'm kind of mapping the effects of what happens to the health care tax credits under the Republican bill compared to the current health care law. And what happens is rural areas, particularly northern Wisconsin, get hit the hardest. I mean, these are areas that came in big for Trump. They're represented by Republicans in Congress like Sean Duffy in northern Wisconsin. And that's where you see the biggest kind of erosion in the support in terms of tax credits people would be getting to help pay their premiums. Because under the current law, high-cost health care areas, places where it costs more, there are fewer health care providers, it's more expensive, they tend to be rural, and those places, people get extra help under the current health care law. They don't get the same bonus under the Republican health care bill, so the losers within this particular measure tend to be in northern Wisconsin, not southern Wisconsin.
Thank you so much, Craig. I'm sure we'll be back in touch soon with more questions.
Stay tuned.
Thanks. Now I'm joined by Jason Stein in Madison and reporter Bill Glauber and columnist Dan Bice here in the studio. So obviously House Speaker Paul Ryan is all in on this plan. Where is Governor Walker? Jason, why don't you tell us a little bit about what he's said about this plan?
Sure. Well, I think it's worth noting that for 7 years, Governor Scott Walker campaigned on, in three runs for governor, campaigned on repealing Obamacare and replacing it, and saying that, you know, politicians need to be more focused on the next generation than the next election. Right now, it's been very difficult to get Scott Walker to give us an opinion on the health care bill. He really has not told us whether he would vote for the bill or would support the bill in its current form. He's not given us a list of what exact changes he would like to see the bill, and he has not told us, you know, what additional information he might need to be able to form an opinion and give us a clear statement on those questions. So, you know, he's made statements instead like the bill is a work in progress and he expects to see changes to the bill and things like that.
We should point out that he was one of the Republican governors who refused to take the extra dollars from the federal government to expand Medicaid, but he did expand Medicaid under the program. But he's right. He's been making this statement repeatedly, but now that there's a bill out there, he's been reluctant to address it. And I think that's because, obviously, he's up for re-election next year, and there's a great deal of uncertainty with this bill. And the last thing you want heading into an election is uncertainty. Right now, we're not sure if the votes are there for this to pass both houses of Congress. And so he doesn't want to jump on board a bill that's not going to go anywhere or to get on a bill that's going to force a number of people off off the insurance rolls heading into his election. You might remember with the Johnson-Feingold race, everything was pretty close, but then the closer issue for the Johnson campaign was Obamacare. So health insurance and entitlements are big issues in elections.
I think Mayor Tom Barrett said yesterday that his silence was deafening. Are you surprised that he hasn't been more talkative about this?
No, he's not a member of the federal government. He doesn't have to vote on this. I'm sort of more interested in what Republicans in the state are doing about this. Duffy seems to be all in on it. Paul Ryan obviously is all in on it. It's his bill. It's his career up for grabs. And Ron Johnson appears to be sort of saying, well, we need to work on this bill. And Ron Johnson's made his entire career.
That's the reason he decided to run.
Yeah, repealing Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fact that it's not all unified, even among the federal folks in the Republican side in Wisconsin, should tell you something. Glenn Grothman expressed reservations. He doesn't think the bill goes far enough. He's, you know, with the more conservative wing of the party, even more conservative than Paul Ryan. But let's face it, the CBO report that showed up to 24 million would be losing their health insurance over a period of years was devastating.
Didn't one critic say there's something for everyone to hate in this bill because it's gotten so much hatred from conservatives and liberals?
Yeah, and actually the first year you end up losing, was it 16 million
people? I think it's 14 million.
But, I mean, a substantial hit in the first year, which is probably more important than the 24 million because...
24 million in 10 years, was
right,
that it?
Right, mm-hmm. So the immediate hit will be the major impact, and that's what a number of people are worried about.
Here's the difficulty for Republicans. When Democrats set up the Obamacare, they actually did a lot of things that helped older, lower-income, sicker voters who live in rural areas, voters who were not necessarily their voters. And ironically, Republicans are now set to do something similar by putting forward a healthcare bill that does a lot for young people, you know, people in their early 20s who, you know, might not be sick and might have, you know, relatively decent jobs. But, you know, a lot of the people that helped Donald Trump get into the White House, including in Wisconsin, older voters living in rural areas, you know, have a lot to lose under this healthcare bill. So that's one of the interesting ironies, both of Obamacare and of, you know, Trump care or Ryan care, whatever you'd like to call it.
West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who you know, Dan, said probably the most perceptive thing. You know, the voters in his state and who are on Obamacare, they don't know who gave them Obamacare, but they're going to know who took it away. So it's very dangerous politics now in trying to unravel Obamacare.
But the one thing is, nobody should be surprised about this. Paul Ryan's been talking about a plan like this for how long?
He was waving it around during the campaign, waving around.
Everyone was talking about Trump, and nobody was apparently reading the plan. So we have a taped segment where I was joined by Tom Kircher of PolitiFact, Wisconsin, who's been fact-checking a lot of these health care claims. So we're going to go to that next, and we'll be back soon. And now I'm here with Tom Kircher of PolitiFact Wisconsin, who has done plenty of fact-checking for us on healthcare claims. So, Tom, we've got one from Paul Ryan.
Right.
And that is basically looking at a report from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, which he said confirms that the American Care Act will lower premiums. We rated that half true.
Yeah, half true because it's partially accurate. So what Paul Ryan was referring to is a report that was released, a government report that was released on Monday. It got a lot of headlines because it estimated how many people will lose health insurance if the Republican replacement for Obamacare becomes law.
So isn't that about 24 million?
Right,
is that it?
Right.
About
10 years out.
Yeah.
Right. And sort of in counter to that, Ryan, you know, pointed to another part of the report and said, hey, you know, premiums are going to go down. What he's referring to is the report does make estimates for people who buy health insurance on their own, you know, the individual market. And what the report says is that if the Republican plan becomes law, in the first 2 years, premiums for those people will actually go up 20 to 25%. And it's not until the period from 2020 to 2026 that those premiums will actually be lower as compared to Obamacare. What the report says is premiums for individuals are expected to be about 10% lower than they would have been if Obamacare remained in place. So we read it at half true.
And would that be presumably maybe after people have stopped using it, that it could be maybe a healthier pool? Is that part of it?
Yeah, the report cited several different reasons, but one reason that it's expected to go down over time is that they expect more competition, for example, in the marketplace, and more healthier people, if you will, buying in.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll have more to fact check on that one,
because
Paul Ryan's been talking about this a lot.
That's right.
So next up, we've got Tammy Baldwin. And she said, Trump Care would allow insurance execs to personally make millions of dollars off of your health care. We rated that one mostly false.
Mm-hmm. Mostly false for PolitiFact is something that has an element of truth only. And she's correct in that the Republican replacement plan for Obamacare does provide a tax break to healthcare companies that would be worth millions of dollars. But it's important to know that that tax break is for the companies themselves. It's not for the individual executives with those companies. And we don't know, there's really no evidence to indicate how the companies would take advantage of those savings. So if they got a tax break, would they just sort of add that to the bottom line? Would they make other improvements in their plans? And obviously they could also give raises to their executives. But there's no way to know whether that would actually be millions of dollars or not.
Maybe that one will be one to revisit at later to see who, yeah, if they get.
If it goes in place, right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay, the next one, we've also got Donald Trump. And he said one-third of the counties, think of it, one-third only have one insurer left on the Affordable Care Act exchanges. And we rated that one true.
We rated it true. People who follow PolitiFact or PolitiFact Wisconsin closely know that the president has not a very good record on the truth-o-meter in terms of statements that we rate as false or mostly false.
He's doing pretty well, pants on fire, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a lot of those. But in this case, you know, we rated this statement true. Whether it's the president or other Republicans, they've criticized Obamacare in a number of different ways. And one of the most recent criticisms is that, hey, health insurance companies are dropping out of the marketplace. And based on a study done back in November by a nonpartisan organization, one-third of the counties in the country have only one insurer that provides health policies on the marketplace. So in other words, if you want to buy health insurance on your own and you want to take advantage of subsidies provided by Obamacare, in a third of the counties in America, there's only one plan to choose from.
So I guess that would be less competition in those in that marketplace.
Competition, and for the consumers, less choice. You know, if you want to take advantage of Obamacare and get some subsidies, you'd probably prefer that you had some choices out there. But in a third of the counties in the country, there is only the one insurer. A lot of companies have dropped out of the marketplace.
Okay. Got it. Well, we'll have to have you back soon, as there's a lot of talk about healthcare these
Great.
Days. So
Great.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks. It's now time for winners and losers, and
our favorite part of the show.
Favorite part of the show. We're all winners. Bill, why don't you tell us who your winner is?
The winner is obvious this week. It's playing outside our doors here today. It's March Madness.
Did you have problems with parking?
I did not pay $75 for parking, but there are some lots that are charging $75 for parking. Sort of astonishing. But March Madness has come to Milwaukee. with two rounds of the NCAA tournament. It's always a good time. The hotels are filled. The bars are filled. Even by Milwaukee standards, the bars are filled. And the arena is going to be filled for four games on Thursday, two games on Saturday. And, you know, while it's all going on, they're still building the new arena next door. Those workers are hard at work. So it's a good time to be in Milwaukee.
The new arena might mean more March Madness for us in the coming years.
Well, I think there will be more March Madness. They do well on this market. It always sells out. Shame they didn't place Wisconsin here. I know Badgers fans were disappointed, and it's an interesting regional, not a great one, but who knows?
And the Badgers get a prime time spot tonight. They play on CBS at 8:40 or something.
Yeah, they get a prime time spot. Marquette gets a prime time spot when they go on tomorrow. So it's a good time of year for sports fans, and even those who aren't interested in sports, it's a good time of year.
I'm glad they got prime time. It would be nice to have them here, though. What about your winner?
My winner is District Attorney John Chisholm. He oversaw the long-defunct John Doe investigation into Scott Walker and conservative groups. That's all done, but the litigation's not. And this week, a federal judge in Madison threw out a lawsuit by a conservative group, the McIver Institute, against John Chisholm and his fellow prosecutors. So that's a win for him.
What about your loser?
My loser is one of my favorite people, Sheriff Clark. It's Sunshine
Week. He likes you too.
It's Sunshine Week, open records, all of those things, but apparently he didn't get the memo. He sent a letter to ICE, the Immigration and Enforcement Agency, and asking them to give his deputies and correctional officers the power to be immigration agents, but he wouldn't give us the letter. And it took an open records request, and they reluctantly gave it to us, so we finally ended up with the letter to see what actually he did. Actually, Bill and I...
He posted a photo of it, but he wouldn't just send it.
And I'm still having trouble seeing, because we had to decipher that photo. We actually brought out magnifying glasses.
And we were close on most of the stuff. We missed a couple of commas and whatever, but one page we couldn't even read at all. But, I mean, it's just sort of bizarre that you would do something like that. Major impact in the community. Creates major conflict because Chief Flynn doesn't want to do this. It makes arrests more difficult. You know, pulling over someone for speeding, and if they're an undocumented immigrant, it could become a deportation battle, then escalates a number of situations. In fact, Governor Walker said over the weekend that it's time for Chief Flynn and Sheriff Clark to get on the same page.
But they seem pretty far from the same page
on immigration issues, yeah. But he didn't say which one he thought was right in the dispute. So maybe when we catch him next time, we can ask.
Mayor Barrett actually had some pretty uncharacteristically strong criticisms of Clark during an interview yesterday where he said that he was fighting crime one conservative cable TV show at a time,
right.
Said that if most people who you ask would say he rode his horse out of town a long time ago, and that in nearly 13 years in office, he's actually never seen him at a crime scene. So that was pretty surprising.
Well, you know, FBI statistics will tell you that... between 2012 and 2014, the sheriff's office investigated no murders or homicides and only five rapes. That sort of work is done primarily by the police department, by the Milwaukee Police Department.
I wonder if most people watching him on Fox or whatever show know that.
No, he's frequently as someone on the ground floor with terrorism and a number of other issues. I mean,
it's kind of seen on the front lines of fighting crime in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't expect national TV shows to know what exactly is going on in Milwaukee. So,
what about you, your loser?
Well, you know, there's two. You can always say Milwaukee County taxpayers because of the pension mess that doesn't get
it's the perma loser
that doesn't get fixed. The other evergreen, I think, is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And this week, we'll go with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. You know, it's getting late early in the governor's race, believe it or not. You got to sort of have your wits about you and start really making a move. And they finally got their first candidate to officially declare some guy named Bob Harlow, who's in his 20s, probably known well to his family and friends, but not known at all in Democratic Party circles. They're really having a difficult time coming up with a candidate for governor. It's sort of astonishing when you think about the politics of it.
They've had some time to think about this.
They have no bench, zero bench.
Those on the bench, like Ron Kine, repeatedly says no, as he did recently. Yeah. And the only other candidate who's out there saying yes, I'm seriously thinking about running, Senator Cullen. So you've got, you know, a guy who's been in office 30 years or perhaps
longer. And
he's
been out of office for several years.
Right.
And
did someone else tell AP that they're considering it and expect to have a decision in the coming weeks?
Yeah, there's a Milwaukee businessman. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Someone.
So, but that's the significance of it. The people you're looking at now are people who are either fringe players or perennials.
Meanwhile, very important, while the Democrats struggle to come up with any sort of candidate, the Republicans have maybe five or six who are jockeying to run against Tammy Baldwin. Mm-hmm. You've got to have candidates. You have to have candidates to run for offices. I mean, if they don't really have decent candidates, all the firepower is going to be, you know, sent against Tammy Baldwin. You have to defend her seat if you're Democrats, and you have to go on offense in these other seats, and they seem incapable of going on offense. So this week it's the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Maybe next week it'll be back to Milwaukee County taxpayers who are continually getting hurt by the pension mess.
Time will tell. Next up is viewer questions, and we've got one about thanking us for reporting on President Trump's 2005 tax returns, saying this was the first positive article in a long time regarding President Trump. This is from Alford. Do you want to take that one?
Well, we could wind up like Rachel Maddow and spend 20 minutes talking about it.
We'll get back to you in 59 minutes.
But the return showed that Trump actually paid taxes on about $150 million and paid about, what, $38 million. So that's good news for those who support Trump. Hey, the man pays his taxes. He didn't dodge his taxes. And it was, you know, David K. Johnston, investigative reporter, got it, quote unquote, in over the transom.
And you could have had Donald Trump as a winner for that and then a loser for the ruling on his immigration policy. But you could do
blocked
that.
Blocked by a judge in Hawaii,
yeah,
this new one.
Right. So you could probably have him as a winner and loser just about every week, too. So another evergreen.
Okay. This is from Newsworthy. If Trump did not tweet his message regarding wiretapping, I guess we could put that in quotes, would any of the news agencies know about it or, better yet, even reported on it?
Well, first of all, was there wiretapping? I mean, it seems like Sean Spicer is now saying he didn't mean wiretapping. When he wrote wiretapping, he meant surveillance in some general form.
Maybe it was the microwave?
maybe it's the right way.
That was Kellyanne Conway, not
but
Spicer.
That's the problem when you try to address major policy issues and major issues in 144 characters or
Republican
less.
Republican senators are getting very upset with this. Chuck Grassley was very upset trying to get to the bottom of this, and it seems like their ire is directed at the president, not at, you know, law enforcement. So, you know, this was a 10-day shaggy dog story, but it's not a shaggy dog story. He actually claimed that Obama had him tapped, and apparently he didn't.
I can't think of a time in my lifetime that a sitting president has accused his predecessor of surveillance or wiretapping.
Well, let's just wait a week, see what else happens.
They do blame problems on them.
Sure, right.
Economic
I inherited
issues.
A mess.
Right.
I inherited a mess, yeah. But wiretapping, that seems like taking it to a whole new level.
And Trump does a lot of things that no other presidents have done.
Sure. All right. One is, my cell phone had a video of Governor Scott Walker's promise for 250,000 jobs during his 4 years. I'm not sure which video that was. Maybe
we ran a video.
Was that our video?
Right. We did a video on that.
Can you please report on the items President Trump is moving forward on for in terms of his campaign promises? That's from Betty.
The video that was done was by PolitiFact Wisconsin things.
Right.
And PolitiFact Wisconsin and National PolitiFact are tracking the promises by Donald Trump as well. So, sure.
Check your phone.
Yeah.
Do a video.
Yeah. It'll show up again soon.
It's early yet, though. People have to remember. I mean,
we're less than 100 days.
So, I mean, you know, things are not done instantaneous. I mean, there'll be plenty of time.
It may seem like
it's been 1,000 days, but in all seriousness, it's early yet. We'll see what happens.
Okay. I'll send this one to you, Bill. It said, why should Governor Walker get involved with the health care program? Isn't health care a federal program that is guaranteed as someone's right under the U.S. Constitution? Since it's a federal program, what do states have to do with it? That's from J.D.
Well, first of all, I don't believe health care is a right under the U.S. Constitution, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Right.
But in terms of of health care. Of course, the governor was going to have an interest. There's a 250,000 people in this state who are covered under Obamacare exchanges. And then there is the whole Medicaid piece that they're looking to redo, make it a block grant to the states, effectively cutting the amount of money that states get over the long haul. It's going to affect every single person in this state. One way or the other, if you know, Medicaid is changed, that's just the
critics have said that you know, if this plan goes through, that there could be cuts to the Badger Care rolls, cuts to long term care for the disabled or elderly. I guess it, you know, time will tell how people will be affected, but I think it's safe to say Wisconsinites will be affected.
Yeah, and Paul Ryan has defined it and defended it as a way to get rid of a federal entitlement and to move it to the states and make it a state issue. Obviously, the governor would be interested in that because it affects him and how he governs the state.
And I think it's going to affect his reelection probably, too. So
I think it will.
All right. I think that's all we've got time for today, but thanks, guys.
Go.
Thank you.
Sure.
Please join us next week when we're back with JS on Politics. Thank you.